Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. It was an incapacitating car accident in his late teens that moved Western Australian artist Andy Michaels to pick up the guitar. The result was a fusion of eclectic tastes and melodic sounds that feature hints of folk, country, Americana, and even some contemporary pop. In this edition of Americana Music Profiles, Andy and I talk about how life led him into a career of music.
Hi, Andy. Welcome to the podcast.
Yes, yeah, thank you. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I guess I should say good morning or good evening, depending on which perspective we want to look at it. We were talking offline, and I appreciate the opportunity to make this work. I'm in Virginia on the East Coast of the United States, and you are in Australia. So we were able to figure out the timeline. We're 13 hours apart, which is always kind of neat to pull this off in cyber world, that we can still be talking at the same time and be traveling at two different timelines. So it's kind of neat to be able to do that.
It's great. And I'm actually in the future to you. So.
Right. Yeah. I've always wanted to talk to somebody in the future. So this is cool. So, well, and I'm in your past. So there you go.
Well,
thanks, Andy. I appreciate it, and certainly looking forward to chatting about your music here a little bit. Tell me, tell me how music started for you. How did you enter into the music industry?
Oh, it's been a long journey. All my life, I've been enjoyed music. My mother used to play guitar and sing when I was a young fella, and that was always a motivation to me, because we lived in the country in Western Australia. You probably call it the outback over there, and we had to make our own fun. And my mother used to bring her guitar always to football games and barbecues and entertain the local country crowd, because basically there was no other entertainment.
And that was for you as a child, right? Of course.
That's right. Yes. All my early formative years, and of course, something like that sort of stays with you. And,
sure.
It was only when I was in my later teens that I had a pretty horrific car accident and nearly wiped me out. And during my convalescing, I picked up the guitar, and really that sort of gave me the spark then to follow my mother's footsteps.
Okay. So, how long after having that time to learn to play and convalesce, as you said, did this become something for you that you wanted to pursue?
It did pretty well, yeah. I mean, I did dabble with guitar when I was at high school and things like that. But having that 6-month convalescing period, Basically, all I was doing was focus on guitar, learning it, playing it, and it sort of gave me the incentive to keep living. Yeah, so.
Did you pursue it professionally after high school, or was this something that came about later in life to be professional with your music?
It was semi-professional by virtue of the fact that after high school I went to university, and and playing in local clubs and pubs and that sort of, you know, gave me money to put myself through a university. And then, it's sort of always been on the verge between professional, amateur, semi-professional, but the songwriting, of course, never stops. So.
Is this something that you are now able to pursue full-time, or do you have other things that you do as well?
It's the last 2.5 years, Greg, it's been full-time since I released my album Revisited about 2 years ago. Yeah. It's been pretty well full-on since then. Yeah,
yeah, that's awesome. I noticed in the notes that you've been able to write a bunch of songs. What is the inspiration for you to do that? Where do you find the inspiration for your songs? Is there a method to it? Or and everybody seems to have a different perspective on that, but it's always fun to hear about that.
Of course, and it's interesting because people always ask you, "What's your inspiration?" And I really don't know. I mean, it can be walking down the street or just seeing, you know, somebody doing something that sort of, you know, makes you sort of, well, you know, it's that's interesting. Relationships always appeal to me because, you know, relationships is always good and bad to everything. And
sure.
I guess I'm probably just intuitive in the fact that, you know, I can stand back and sort of feel what people are going through, what they're feeling, and I seem to find a way to put that in music.
Okay. The feel from my perspective listening to your music, there, it's this what we call Americana, kind of a folky electric rock kind of sound. Am I getting that right? Is that an intentional sound?
No, it's not intentional. I guess my music's been described as eclectic, and that sort of appeals to me because it's pulling a bit out of all genres. So, there's a bit of country, there's a bit of folk, there's a bit of pop, there's a bit of rock there sometimes.
Uh-huh.
And that way I'm not stereotyped into one box, you know.
Sure.
And that suits me down to the ground because, you know, all those genres are, you know, just great. There's just great music that comes out of all of that. And while being able to sort of, you know, take a little bit out of that one and a little bit there and put it together, it's pretty cool, yeah.
Yeah. What kind of venues do you find that your music fits the best?
My music fits?
Yeah, right. Like, what kind of places do you play that feels most appropriate for the style of music that you play?
Yeah, probably fairly intimate venues, you know, probably up to 100 people or so, because I love to have interaction with people. And even, I do enjoy the cabaret-style shows where there's a lot of, you know, a lot of interaction, maybe a music quiz and you know, even a supper or a sit-down dinner,
okay,
that type of thing. You know, it just becomes like a, you know, party, you know, which is great, rather than just have me standing up there and everyone down the bottom. It's interactive.
Sure, yeah.
And that's great.
Do you play solo or do you travel with a band or both?
I'm pretty well solo. I do have musicians that join me depending on how big the gig is and what's involved here. But I've been pretty well solo all my life here. So I started out as a singer, songwriter, and I guess, you know, to some aspects it's all still around here. So.
Yeah, yeah. And so your new or current record is called Incendiary Heart. Is that right?
Incendiary Heart. I don't know how you pronounce it in America. Yeah.
Yeah.
Incendiary Heart. Yeah.
Incendiary Heart. Yeah.
I think I had to Google myself once.
So where did that come from?
I don't know. I think Obviously, I think I was looking for something to show like passion and heart emotion, and obviously Burning Heart is just too too boring. It didn't quite have it, and you know, a spark in a heart, of course, all that's rubbish. And somehow I picked up Incendiary, and I thought, well, that's pretty cool. That's a number there, so and that's what the song and the album end up being called. So.
And this has been out for you how long?
It's been out getting on 3 or 4 months now. So I think it came out in August, early September. So.
And it's released to radio. Do you have radio listening outlets that fit the genre of music that you've created?
Yeah, it's been picked up by a lot of radio stations in Europe, America, obviously. A big radio network in New Zealand just picked up one of the songs, Darling It Hurts, and it's getting a lot of radio airplay at the moment, and it seems to be increasing weekly now. So, hopefully it's going to keep the momentum up going into the festival season. Yeah,
so. Yeah, okay. So, and so you do play festivals then with your music as well?
I've deliberately not going to do any shows during this festival season because the recording process, basically I've been non-stop in the recording studio now virtually for 3 years and probably a good time just to sit back, absorb it all, see what happens, and spend time with my family. Yeah,
yeah, okay. So what does it look like to play out with this current music? What kind of... You like a tour schedule or like a your playing routine? What does that look like for you with this?
Yeah, nothing at the moment. What's going to happen early New Year? Once the dust settles a bit, I've been invited to America, and I would probably just love to do a dozen cities or so, and get to know you wonderful people and get a feel for everything and hopefully get everyone involved with what I'm doing.
So you do have a U.S. Tour on the horizon then, is that right? Do I understand that correct?
Yeah, that's right, in the first part of next year that will probably be likely to be announced.
Yeah, okay. Is there... A moment that you recall in your career that feels like one of those defining moments where you knew that you were for sure on the right path?
Oh, I have a lot of dreams, and I tend to write a lot of songs when I'm asleep as well, which is sounds a bit weird, but it tends to happen. I wake up in the morning and the words and music there, but I guess I sort of had this inner drive to make Revisited the first album a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
The original intention was actually to make it for placement, the songs for placement in sort of movies and TV. It was just a radio station in the UK contacted me because they heard one of the songs on that album called Where Are You Now? And they said, oh, Andy, this is a great song. We will be able to play it on radio. And of course, I'm not going to say anything. I said, go for it. So from there, it sort of went viral. And from there, virtually every song on the album was being played. And I still had heaps of songs, that I hadn't recorded, which ended up on Incendiary Heart. And so virtually I had back-to-back albums, and both albums are getting airplay at the same time.
So. Yeah, wow, that's cool. So if you're not presently touring, you mentioned earlier that the songwriting kind of is always ongoing. Do you have a routine during your day? Like, do you have times that you focus on your songs, or are you just kind of, when the inspiration hits, you sort of stop and work on it?
obviously, with two little kids, it's hard to find for yourself. But I've only got to pick up a guitar and straight away, you know, the melodies or something will come in, or something that I've heard, some phrasing or words that sort of stuck in the back of my subconscious, you know, it'll come out. And before long, you know, I sort of got a song coming, yeah, but I've deliberately held back in the last couple of months because I don't want to be doing another album this year anyway. So,
two albums out kind of simultaneously. If folks want to hear more of your music and they would like to reach out to you, especially if people listening to this are in Australia or near where you might be playing, what's the best way to find your music for sale and to communicate with you?
My website's always a great first point of contact. Obviously, you can just Google search it, or even in Spotify or iTunes. But my website's just easy to remember, and it's just andymichaelsmusic.com.
Great, and then music available on iTunes, Spotify kind of places. Is that also
an
option?
Yep, iTunes, Spotify. I've even got some CDs in my bottom drawer. If anybody sort of likes the old physical one, so.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us still listen to those the real CDs. that's a changing environment too.
Exactly, and records, vinyls made a comeback too, which is pretty awesome. I'd love to re-release or put both albums out as a quadruple vinyl or something. That would be fun. Yeah. So.
Who knows? Maybe cassette tapes will make a comeback yet before this is all over. I'm old enough to remember listening to those driving around in your car. So.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Andy. This has been fun talking to you and reaching all the way around the globe and making this connection and learning more about your music. And we certainly wish you well when you get to our side of the world and share your music here in a couple months. And look forward to folks getting a chance to hear you.
Great, Greg. It's been awesome talking to you, and I can finally put a voice to the name. And you've been wonderful. And thanks to everybody for listening.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Fernino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune in to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.